quickly and easily. You can even make your own radio ad. Just answer a few questions and we'll do the rest. Sign up today at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Listen and you'll know.
First of all, if you haven't heard this yet, I love this.
Rod Arquette on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
I'll admit it. Yeah, I did watch the opening sequence put together by Major League Baseball last night with the Field of Dreams game involving the Yankees, the White Sox, and Kevin Costner. And yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Now, I didn't see it live. I was down at Built Bar, of course. We were doing our show from down there yesterday. And congratulations again to Built Bar. They're getting some very positive coverage nationally today on the involvement they now have with the BYU football program. Congratulations to them. So I was on the road coming back, and I didn't see the opening. I didn't see much of the game, as a matter of fact, because I had something else to do. But my one of my daughters-in-law texted me last night and said, "Rod, you've got to see this. It's on YouTube if you want to see it." Her brother, by the way, is a big fan of the movie Field of Dreams. So I did, and I sat there, and I thought it was great. I couldn't understand, to be real honest, though, why it took Kevin Costner so long to walk around that field. I mean, you know, you could walk out and maybe gaze for a minute, but you're going, okay, what is he up to? And E-Ray shot me this meme today from a man by the name of Donnie Baker. I think he's a comedian, but I don't think that's his real.
It's not a meme. It's just a screenshot from Barstool Sports, their post.
Okay. But this is what he said. He said, "Seeing Kevin Costner with white hair and aviators, glasses, sunglasses, wandering around like he was lost was weird. At first, I thought it was Joe Biden getting off Air Force One again." That just cracked me up. But, you know, it was really touching. I thought Major League Baseball did really, really well with that. As a matter of fact, someone suggested they need to do that almost on a yearly basis or go around the country and go to some famous baseball sites and play a baseball game. But I thought that was pretty cool. It is one of my favorite movies. Yeah, I do get emotional occasionally on that just because I think it's a fun movie. And I'm glad Major League Baseball did that last night. They were going to do it last year, I believe, but it got canceled because of COVID-19. How are you, everybody? Hello, Utah. Welcome to Thank Rod It's Friday right here on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen in, you'll know. Now, we've got a lot to get to today. We're going to spend the first half hour of the show today talking about Joe Biden and the disastrous week that Biden has, and now we're starting to see voter remorse out there. I mean, Joe Biden. And we'll lay this out here in just a second, but it is a disaster. We'll talk more about the mask mandates. Can you believe what the mayor of Salt Lake County said about the parents who appeared at that meeting last night when the county council decided to reject Angela Dunn's mask mandate? You won't believe what the mayor of Salt Lake County had to say about this and what other people are saying about this. I mean, why have we turned so mean to each other over all of this? I just don't get it. And yeah, I'll say, well, Rod, you're part of it, you know. Yeah, I've had a little fun with Angela Dunn, accusing her of, in the eyes of some people, walking on water. But what the mayor said and what some of these proponents of mask mandates are saying, going after the parents and the organizations that fought this, is pretty amazing. We'll get into that in the 5 o'clock hour. Also coming up a little bit later on, Clark Apotian will join us, and we'll continue our series of interviews on the Live On campaign, a campaign to prevent suicide here in the state of Utah. So a lot to get to today, and we invite you to be a part of the program. 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010, or on your cell phone. All you do is have to dial #250 and say, "Hey, Rod." Now, let's start off with Joe Biden. Joe Biden yesterday, President of the United States, bolted for vacation late yesterday afternoon after returning to work midweek from being on vacation yet again. Biden departed the White House for a vacation in Wilmington, Delaware, after his press secretary, Jen Psaki, said earlier this week the administration would not disclose who Biden meets with when he goes back to his home state. Now, this comes after a week of unbelievable, disastrous developments, I think, for the White House and for Joe Biden. Here are a few of them. Let's first of all talk about inflation. Inflation for businesses have reached the highest level ever recorded. Let me say that again. Inflation for businesses reached the highest level ever recorded. Producer prices accelerated at the fastest annual pace on record in July as supply chain disruptions and material shortages continue to put upward pressure on cost. And a Fox News poll out there, and it asked people what is causing hardship for your family with these recent inflationary increases. Grocery prices. 70% of the people said grocery prices are causing them heartburn. You know, a dozen and a half eggs the other day may have cost about $4. Now they're costing $4.50. Almost every item in the grocery store is going up. Gasoline prices. Gas is $1 a gallon higher today than it was a year ago. And in some states, like here in Utah, I think it's more than $1.50 higher. It's pretty amazing. And housing costs continue to go up. So there's one of Mr. Biden's real challenges he faces right now. Second one, coronavirus cases continue to surge as the administration struggles to get America vaccinated. Now, remember last year? Remember when Joe Biden tweeted this out? We're 8 months into the pandemic and Donald Trump still doesn't have a plan to get the virus under control, and I do. That's what Joe Biden said just last year. Well, now, nearly 7 months into his administration, Biden is seeing a huge surge again, coronavirus cases, and is struggling to get the entire country vaccinated. The American people are not listening to this guy. Now, another crisis. The situation in Afghanistan, rapidly deteriorating after Biden's disastrous withdrawal from the nation. Here's another crisis. Niray, I've got a soundbite I need you to play on this one. Biden's border crisis. It has worsened for the sixth straight month to the worst month ever recorded by the Department of Homeland Security. So what does the news media do yesterday? They focus on Britney Spears. That's what they focus on, and not the crisis that's taking place in the border, where Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security, went down to the border and meet with the Border Patrol agents. Here's a report from Fox News.
Whatever system they're using is broken and needs fixing.
As the migrant surge continues to grow, leaders in South Texas met with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas in McAllen, one of the epicenters of the crisis, and let him know exactly what they think.
The men and women in green and blue need help. Bottom line, they're strained, they're overworked. They don't need just a pat in the back, they actually need the resources.
During his visit, Secretary Mayorkas talked to some of those men in green, Border Patrol agents on the front lines, where Customs and Border Protection officially confirmed today there were more than 212,000 encounters in July, a five-fold increase over July 2020. Many of those agents have indeed told us they are frustrated, exhausted, and need more resources to quickly and humanely process children and families and those who are genuine asylum seekers, and to just as quickly expel those who are not.
We confront challenges and we meet them.
Secretary Mayorkas said the Biden administration is taking a four-pronged approach, tackling the root causes of migration, creating safe, orderly, and legal pathways for migrants, improving security and processing, and, in his words, attacking smugglers. And he said the administration is doing all it can to deal with a large number of COVID-19 infections among migrants.
We are building new processes to make sure that the migrants are tested, cohorted during transportation, isolated and quarantined as necessary, and we are surging federal resources to address that need.
The secretary said every branch of government involved in dealing with this migrant surge is working to protect the American public and to administer the laws of our nation. The local leaders Secretary Mayorkas met with here in Texas appear to believe that neither of those things is being done adequately.
And it isn't. And if there's a story out late tonight that Mayorkas, during that private meeting with Border Security, apparently admitted for the first time we're going to lose this war if we don't do something about it. That's an admission from the White House coming from Mayorkas. All right, a lot to get to today. We'll talk about more of maybe a little voter's remorse going on with Joe Biden being in the White House. We'll get to that coming up next right here on the Rod Arkent Show. It is so great to welcome Mike Wilson back to center stage. Mike, of course, with Any Hour Services. Michael, how are you? Getting ready for the weekend?
I'm doing good, yeah. I like the weekends.
You like to, don't we all?
I think so.
All right, what we'll talk about today, Mike?
Well, I mean, we still have some warm weather in front of us, and I thought we'd talk about our air conditioners and things that we can do to help get them through the end of the summer and hopefully how to save some money. I know your listeners are a big fan of saving money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all like to save money, don't we?
That's true. That's true.
Well, you know, how long typically are you getting calls about air conditioning, Mike?
Well, I mean, it's hard to predict, really, but I mean, the last day of summer isn't till the end of September. We have 90-degree temperatures easily until then, and even though we start to get toward, the closer we get to that, we start to have, like next week, we see some 80s kind of cropping up, but we're going to jump back up into the 90s. And so I've heard some people say that because of the hot, dry winter and spring that we had, that that could be an indication that the heat's going to stick around a little longer than we might want it to, but I mean, I personally love the fall weather, but I think we've still got some air conditioner weather in front of us.
Have you had a lot of calls this year on the air conditioning issue?
Yeah,
have you guys been busy?
100%, yeah, and it started earlier. Like, you know, the summer, in air quotes, rush seemed to happen a little bit earlier. I remember we had that really odd where we had a bunch of 100-degree weather, you know, really earlier than we normally do, and it seems like it's just been slammed since then.
You have a great program there at Any Hour Services. You call it the No Breakdown Guarantee. What is that, Mike?
Well, besides when we come out and we tune up an air conditioner, besides performing the manufacturer's recommended maintenance and inspection items, one of the reasons that we come in and we offer these tune-ups at a discount is because we want to give people a risk-free way of sampling our service. So our hope is that we come out and we do such a good job servicing your air conditioner that, you know, later on down the line, whether that's years down the line or whatever, that if something does break down, hopefully you had a good experience with us and you'll call us back. And so we already don't make a lot of money on these discounted tune-ups. But we wanted to figure out a way to remove all of the risk for a customer. And so what better way to do that than to give you your money back if the system does break down? So if you have Any Hour Services come out and tune up your air conditioner, if that thing breaks down within the next year, the next 12 months of us servicing it, we're going to come back out there for free, diagnose the thing, figure out what went wrong. And we're actually going to give you the $29 that you paid for the tune up back, assuming that you call tonight and get the $29 deal and you're not paying $99 next week.
Yeah. So $99 down to $29.
That's
that is
the deal
a fantastic
tonight.
Offer. But they have to call tonight, right,
Need
Mike?
To call tonight.
All right. Give them a call right now. That Any Hour Services save $70 on an air conditioner tune up with their no breakdown guarantee. $99 value for only $29, but you've got to call before the show wraps up tonight at 7 o'clock, 801-443-7400, 801-443-7400.
To finish it, only on the free iHeart app, number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
I said, I want to go back and do it all over, but I can't go back, God, no, I want to go back.
Back to the Rod Arkent Show on this Thank Rod It's Friday here on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9. KNRS listening, you'll know. I wonder how many of you actually out there. Now, a Democrat will never admit this, and probably somebody who voted for Joe Biden will never admit it as well. But I really wonder if you asked him right now, you look at what's going on in this country, if in fact they would want to go back and do it all over again. We call it, well, in business, they call it buyer's remorse. Here, we're going to call it voter's remorse. So what is going on? Well, joining us on our newsmaker line to talk more about this is Stephanie Buhaila. She is the communications director at the Foundation for Government Accountability. A number of polls out there showing Joe Biden is underwater right now. Stephanie, thanks for joining us this afternoon. What are you seeing when it comes to voters and their satisfaction with Joe Biden?
We've been tracking the president's approval numbers for several months now. And what we have found should really give the left pause. In just 9 short weeks, Biden's approval numbers of 51% in late May has now become his disapproval number. And that's stunning, Rod. You know, it'll soon be 30 years since Bill Clinton's chief strategist, James Carville, famously quipped, "It's the economy, stupid." Well, the White House should give him a call because there's nothing new under the sun. Overwhelmingly, voters across the political spectrum name economic recovery as their top issue when considering who to vote for in the congressional elections next year. And with only an eight-seat majority, this doesn't bode well for a party hell-bent on policies that do just the opposite.
Well, like you write about, you know, you would think that the president is reading things properly out there, the trade wind, so to speak, understand that the American people do not want to go as far left as he's trying to take the country. That is not going to sit well with center-right or center-left voters, is it, Stephanie?
No, it's not. So we wanted to take a look at where voters' minds were on this, and especially with independents.
Mm-hmm.
We've discovered their biggest pain points are two key issues, inflation and unemployment. But that's probably no surprise to any of your listeners today. So on inflation, nearly 60% of voters say that they're concerned about inflation, and their fears only increase when they hear about all the ways that it can impact their family budgets. This is especially important with independents. Everything from gasoline to school supplies cost more than they did a year ago. And when it comes to unemployment, bonuses are the big item. 55% of voters want them to end, and that includes a majority of independents. That number increases when you talk to business owners as well. And I know you're based in Utah, so I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout-out to your governor, Governor Cox, for making the right decision in ending those bonuses in your state. Independents don't support them, and it was a good call.
I would have to think that not only independents, but most everybody in this country has got to be worried about inflation, Stephanie. I mean, I paid $4 a gallon for gas. Back in November, I was paying $2.37 a gallon. The numbers out on inflation today, again, up, what, 5.6% from over a year ago. I mean, how does Joe Biden, if he can, combat that message? Because Americans look at their paycheck first in their pocketbooks.
That's absolutely right. Democrats are going to have to face the reality if they hope to connect with middle ground Americans this next election cycle. Personally, I don't see it happening. The cost of goods and services, as you said, up over 5.5% since a year ago, and families are feeling the pinch. And while Democrat officials want to blame business owners for unfilled jobs, voters know the truth. Out of control spending bills keep flying out of left field, and voters are tired of being hit over the head. They don't want more stimulus bills, they don't want more enhanced tax credits, and they definitely don't want state bailouts. And though they support some spending on infrastructure, they don't support provisions that offer handouts to China or expand the federal bureaucracy. They want the federal government to live within their means, just like all the rest of us.
We sure do. Joe Biden talked about unity. He talked about bringing the country back together again in his inauguration speech. Is he living up to the height? What do people say about that?
No, I mean, he came in, again, wanting to unite Americans, and I think part of uniting Americans is getting Americans back to work. We all know the importance that work brings to our families. It brings us dignity and pride and helps us to provide for our families, and he's creating a division between those who are working and those who are not working. So Democrats and independents both listed unemployment bonuses as their top concern when it comes to federal spending increases. They see what these bloated government handouts have done to their families, have done to businesses and their communities, and it's driving a wedge between the parties. The president can blame worker shortages on low wages all he wants to, but voters blame the bonuses and policies from the left and from Biden's administration. You know, new job numbers were just released this week, and we have more than 10 million jobs open in this country, yet 13 million people remain unemployed. Unemployment bonuses, extensions, new welfare eligibility, it made it far more lucrative to stay home than to work. In fact, a parent of two can bring in $3,500 a month just by remaining jobless, and that's being financed by taxpayers, working people against their will. And not only are working Americans spending more for necessities, they're also accumulating tax debt to subsidize their non-working neighbors. And it's really pitting neighbor against neighbor. It isn't right.
Stephanie, is Biden betting, final question for you, is Biden betting on the fact that he thinks the American mindset now is toward bigger government, government helping you out more and more against the traditional, you know, we want smaller government, we want effective government, but America wants to do a lot of things on their own. Is he betting that the mindset of the American people has shifted toward we want big government?
You know, it really looks that way. But if you look back over history, Americans are independent, right? And when we look to independent voters, they really appreciate a smaller government that gets out of the way. We're approaching Labor Day, officially the last summer cookout holiday of the year. And I hope the president doesn't take to Twitter again to brag about saving families 16 cents on hamburger buns, because I have some jarring news for him. The cost of grilling burgers today is now 64% higher than it was last summer. If Democrats in Congress really want to celebrate the American worker this Labor Day, they'll start adopting policies and send them to the president that get government out of the way of the American the economic recovery. 2022 midterm elections are approaching quickly, and as of right now, by an 8-point margin, independents support GOP efforts to retake control of the House. If that sentiment holds, the left is going to be in serious trouble next November, and they're only going to have the president to blame for it.
On our Newsmaker line, Stephanie Buhaila. She is a communications director at the Foundation for Government.
Something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Put me on a highway, the interstate, a dirt road to any place. Long as I'm long gone, chasing down some blue skies in my old truck. Tune the world out, turn the radio up. Sing along to my freedom song.
The Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
You know, one of the real flashpoints in this country when it comes to the debate over mask mandates and vaccination mandates has been Florida, the state of Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis has stood up to the establishment and said, in Florida, people are free to decide what they want to do. Well, apparently, Florida has a plan which would basically call for a truce in the debate over masks. And joining us on our Newsmaker line to talk about that is Bill Maddox. Bill is the director at the Center for Educational Options and the James Madison Institute. Bill, thanks for joining us. You've taken a look at Florida. What is going on there when it comes to debates over mask mandates and vaccination mandates, Bill?
So in Florida, just like everywhere else, there is a great deal of conflict and tension because you've got families who have very different priorities, very different concerns. Some obviously want to have situations where they can send their kids to a school where all the kids are masked because they have serious health concerns. And in some cases may have an immunocompromised parent or something of that sort. Other families are concerned about masks and the effects that it has on a whole host of other considerations that might kind of all be loosely described as issues surrounding a child's psychological and mental health well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got tensions, and there's just no way around those. The policies that the governor has advocated are to basically say, let's have the default standard for our public schools be mask optional. So those who want to wear them are free to do so. Those who do not wish to wear them will not be required to do so. That should be the default standard. And I think broadly, most people, most parents believe that is a policy that is acceptable. And for that reason, most families are sending their kids back to school and are going to abide by that policy.
Mm-hmm.
And most school districts are going to abide by that policy. But in some places in our state, the school districts have said, we feel so strongly about mask mandates that we want to impose those on all our schools have all kids wear masks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there has been a tug of war back and forth with the governor over this. And so late last week, the Department of Education said, hey, what we're going to do is allow a scholarship program that's already in existence. It was created several years ago. That provides a way of escape for kids who have been victimized in schools by bullies, or have been the victims of sexual harassment or physical assault, those students in our state are eligible to receive something called a HOPE scholarship that allows them, if their parents wish, to transfer to a different school, public or private, with funding, so that they can learn in an environment where they feel safe and feel comfortable. And so what the governor and the Department of Education said is, we have the legal authority within the statute to extend this now to students who are in some way, whose health is in some way jeopardized and by COVID and the COVID reaction, the masking policies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it means is that students who do not feel like they can learn well in the environment that they, you know, in their local school or whatnot, now have options. And if they feel they are being mistreated or harassed, they are eligible for a scholarship and can then go to a school that is in line with their preferences, whether that is a school that does not require masks or a school that does require masks.
Are people in that state aware of that? Do you know, Bill?
So part of the publicity surrounding, I mean, part of the reason I wrote the article in the Wall Street Journal and why we are talking about this with people like you and others here in our state is to try to raise awareness about this. The HOPE Scholarship has been in existence for several years. There are families who take advantage of it because of, you know, the originally intended purposes of, you know, they've been bullied or victimized or whatnot. But now that this eligibility has been widened and more families will be potentially affected, part of our task is to kind of get the word out. I mean, I think in the minds of the governor, and I don't want to speak for him, I'm not, you know, part of his staff. We are an independent think tank that has people on all sides of these questions. I think what he really would like to see happen is for as many people as possible to remain in the school that they've been in for years and to be able to abide by the policies that that school has. And he believes that if the policies are mask optional, the broad mass of the public will find that acceptable. But this allows for those exceptions, so to speak, on either side to have opportunities to attend a school if they don't feel like people at their school are providing the kind of opportunity that they want, or if they feel like they are being mistreated or harassed or bullied over masking. Because, you know, one of the things that has been kind of eye-opening to me in some ways is just in seeing some of the comments that my article has generated, there have been people that have reported, yeah, my kid, you know, was told that his grandmother was going to die because he refused to wear masks in school.
Oh.
And so you can imagine the kind of bullying and mistreatment that might take place in a school on either side of this. And what Florida is trying to do is to say, look, we care about education. We want kids to be learning in school, in person, and we understand that some of these distractions could get in the way of that.
Yeah.
We want to remove those distractions and to say to people, if you're feeling mistreated, if people are hindering your child's ability to get the education that he or she needs, we have a way for you to find another school that can provide that.
On our Newsmaker line, that's Bill Maddox. He is with the James Madison Institute talking about the fact that Florida has a way to call a truce in the debate over wearing masks in school. All right, more coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know Mike Wilson from Any Hour Services. They do all your electrical, plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. They've been around since 1961. I can't believe that, Michael. You guys been around for it.
Yeah,
you aren't that old.
I haven't been around since 1961, but the company has. Wyatt's granddad started it.
All right. Now, let's talk about air conditioning. That seems to be on everybody's mind. We've been running it for week after week after week. We had an early summer heating up. Should we be concerned about anything? Anything we should be looking for right now, Mike, if it's running well?
Well, here's the thing. I always come on here and I talk about the importance of airflow. And when it comes to airflow, the number one most important thing that we can do, make sure that we've got a clean air filter. So a lot of people will replace their filter at the beginning of the summer. And if you haven't replaced it since then, tonight when you get home or if you're home right now, go down and at least check on it. You know, take it out, hold it up to the light, see how dirty it is. If you're not getting light through it, you're not getting enough air through it, put it back in. Go around the house, make sure that the vents are open, make sure that you don't have, I would say the return airs are probably even more important than the supplies because there's usually fewer return airs than there are supplies. And sometimes in some houses, they get installed either on the ground or low on the wall and furniture. I don't know why they put them exactly where you would want that TV stand to be, but like just make sure that you've got some room between the furniture and the return air so that it can be circulating the air because the airflow is the number one most important thing when it comes to your air conditioner working properly.
You know, you're talking about the filters. They are so important. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I both said, that's a weird sound coming out of there. What's going on? I said, have we changed the filter? We've had some construction in our home. We hadn't. And she went and got a new one, solved the problem right away. The air filters are so important.
Yeah. And, you know, you wouldn't think that like a dirty filter would cause that racket, but I've seen filters get so dirty. That big blower motor that has to force all the air in and out or through the house, it creates such a vacuum. I've seen filters get sucked right into that motor because they were so clogged up, it couldn't get air through it, and it just whoop, sucked it in there.
You always come with a goodie, offer. What have you got for us tonight on our listeners?
You know, in the owner's manual for your system, it says, in addition to the maintenance that you perform, like changing the filter, there are some things that you want a professional to check. And so normally we charge $99 to come out and check those things, the refrigerant, the capacitors, the different coils and things like that. It's well worth it at $99 to do that. But tonight, KNRS listeners aren't going to have to pay $99. You call in, tell them you heard us talking on the show. You're going to lock in a $70 savings and be able to get this done for $29. You can schedule it for whenever's most convenient for you, but you got to call tonight to get that price. And tonight, that price includes our no breakdown guarantee for 12 months.
Wow, check it out tonight. But they have to call before 7 o'clock tonight,
yes, sir,
right? All right, give them a call right now at Any Hour Services for this fantastic offer for you to save $70. That's right, 801-443-7400, 801.
Why not add a little luxury to my life?
Now, you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company. Open every day.
All right, it's time to play on the Rod Arkent Show, what we call our Fuel Up Fridays. Now comes your chance to win a $20 gift card from Maverick heading down the highway. Need a cold drink, something to snack on? Why not use this $20 gift card from Maverick? Give us a call right now. We'll call caller number 5. 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010, caller number 5 for your chance right now to win a $20 gift card from Maverick, part of our Fuel Up Fridays with Maverick and Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen and you'll know. Now, everyone has seen a crude or rude restaurant patron, right? Treating the establishment's hosting and waitstaff poorly, right? We've seen it before. We cringe, we empathize, we tell our kids, don't do that. But sometimes we slip up, maybe we get a little mad, right? Well, one man who apparently let his frustrations get the better of him while waiting for a seat at his favorite main eatery offered a powerful lesson on what to do when you mess up. That's a great story. Tammy Ramsey works as a hostess at a hotel and restaurant there in York, Maine, and she often has to deal with rude customers. She says, you know, it's all just part of the job, and said, you know, I've been doing this for many years. Not so much goes through my head anymore. I just try and make the customer happy, and if I can't make them happy, I smile at them and say, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. Well, apparently on July 5th of this year, she apparently had a very unruly guest and thought that she said she can't remember exactly who it was. The guest himself sure remembered. And to be honest, he was ashamed of his behavior in this restaurant in Maine. So he decided to do something about it. He sent a sincere letter of apology to the restaurant and gave a $100 tip to Ramsey at the hotel. Ramsey said she was floored. She said she got goosebumps and was like, really? And I read it again and again. It was like, that is really cool. The letter basically apologized. It was signed frustrated customer and ashamed customer. And she left a tip. for the server there at the restaurant of $100. So, see, you can make mistakes, and you can make good on those mistakes. All right, busy hour coming your way. Being it, thank Rod, it's Friday. We'll open up the phones to you. But before that, we'll talk about the head of a group who is being fried by the media in this town for
its radio. Now on Saturdays at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
We are live, we are local, and of course we're everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. How are you, everybody? Welcome back to the Rod Arcetio. It is Thank Rod, it's Friday, and here in a few minutes we'll be opening up the phones to you and letting you talk about whatever is on your mind tonight, because we do this every Friday. We've talked to, it's been a really interesting week here in the state of Utah and around the country, and we'll open up the phones to you and get your thoughts as to what's going on in the world in which we live anymore, right? And certainly it's changing. Now, before we welcome our next guest on the show, I think there are only two people in the state of Utah who actually, well, on the media side of things, be it social media, be it radio, television, who actually agree with what Salt Lake County and the council did yesterday on the mask mandate. One of them happens to be me, because I think they made the right decision. And then I see this commentary today by LeVar Webb at UtahPolicy.com, in which he says the county council did its duty deciding the mask mandate policy. Said difficult decision. Everyone agrees with that. But LeVar wrote, the county council made the right decision, all things considered, to let parents decide what's best for their children. And isn't that what it's all about? Joining us now on our Newsmaker line to talk about all of this is Corinne Johnson. She is with Utah Parents United. Corinne, how are you? And welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Let me tell you what, Corinne. You and your organization have been called almost every name in the book, I think, in the last 24 hours. You've been accused that you're going to have blood on your hands because of what the council did. Someone pointed out yesterday, I think it was the mayor of Salt Lake County, accused you of not representing the people of the county. Other people are accusing you of being very similar to the insurrectionists back on January 6th because you waved a flag last night. I mean, Corinne, this is a little out of hand, isn't it?
It's crazy. When you stand up for parental rights and American freedom, it seems like you are immediately labeled and targeted as some type of a radical extremist. But, you know, that isn't the case, especially not with Utah Parents United. And truly, it was parents who showed up yesterday. And, you know, there may be the occasional people here and there that like to come to these events. But what we saw at that county council meeting were hundreds of parents. Just like you and me, parents and grandparents with their children who were just asking the county council to do right by them and uphold their right to make health choices for their kids. And it was an incredible thing to see. The parents really came through, and we were so proud of the county council for standing by our parental rights.
Why, in your opinion, Corinne, and the opinion of your organization, why is it so important for parents to be able to make the decision that they now can make thanks to what the council did yesterday?
We know that no one loves their children the way a parent loves their child, and no one knows their child better. And this was evident in the testimony that was given 2 weeks prior. We had a feeling this was going to happen when Angela Dunn talked about how we expect to see every child under 12 masks. And parents started to go. They decided the county has a car, we're going to go. And they gave testimony. And it was amazing to listen to these parents talk about their children, how much they know them. They knew the mental, emotional, physical toll that masking took on their children. And they knew that it was not right. It wasn't healthy for their kids. And they wouldn't put their children through that again. And all they were asking for was a choice. And that is why there can be recommendations from all of these organizations, the CDC, the APA, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, a parent knows their child best and should be able to do what's best for their child. And it was wonderful to see the council recognize those parental rights and allow parents to choose. And there will be those that choose to send their kids to masks, and we want them to have that choice. We're grateful that the governor is offering KN95 masks to those parents and those kids. They need to be protected, and they need to have that choice. But we're so grateful that those of us that don't want our children masked because we see that that's not right for our kids get to teaches that as well. It's a great day for parents.
What is your reaction to what Jenny Wilson, the mayor of Salt Lake County, said about you, that your group and the parents that were gathered there yesterday do not represent what she sees in Salt Lake County? What's your reaction to that?
Frankly, I think Mayor Jenny Wilson is out of touch with her constituency. Salt Lake City is not Salt Lake County. And when you look across Salt Lake County and you go out into the community, children are not masked. Adults are not masked. I don't see masking happening. And parents are not out in the rest of the county. We're talking Jordan, Granite, Murray, farther out in our communities from Salt Lake, begging the government to intervene and do more about COVID. They're just not. They're asking for a choice. So I really do think she's a little bit out of touch with what is really going on right now in Salt Lake County with the constituents.
Is this what the legislature intended to do with the passage of legislation it approved earlier this year, to take these critical decisions out of the hands of unelected health officials or unelected officials to begin with, and put that those decisions into the hands of elected officials, people who are voted on by the people and are asked to represent the people? To me, that was the intent of what lawmakers wanted to do earlier this year, and it came through yesterday.
Absolutely, and we are very grateful for the legislation that created this opportunity to have the decision in the hands of people who we elect and who represent us, the voice of the people. The governor made a promise that he wouldn't mask kids, and you know what? As crazy as it is, I guess we have to thank the governor, thank the legislature, we have to thank Sid Dixon, we have to thank all those top, high-level state officials who took hands off and said, you know what? We're going to let local people make the decision, local elected officials. So I am grateful that we got to do this on a local level. And I will not be surprised. We don't see a vote like this in almost every county across the state by the end of the school year. So what Salt Lake County decided and the precedent they set is very important as we move forward, because all these health departments are going to be facing, there will be COVID cases in school. There will be situations where we will have to possibly go into a situation of a school maybe being shut down. Well, not, they won't be shut down, but they'll have to go to test to stay, which is locked. And we're going to see that. And we don't want people to be afraid of that. That is why the legislature put protections in place. So we have everything we need to control the spread in school, even if we don't do masks. But I think the health departments are going to be nervous, and they're going to start issuing these health orders. And this is important that they set this precedent now, that parents ultimately will get to should get to decide this. And we will rely on the other health measures that were put in place to keep the spread in control in our schools. And they're there, and we can rely on those.
Corinne, it was yesterday, I think, a good day for moms and dads, and I know your organization did a lot of work in that regard. Good luck with these efforts, and I know we'll be talking more down the road. Thanks, Corinne. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much, Rod.
All right, that is Corinne.
I will.
All right, Corinne Johnson. She is with the Utah Parents United, talking about the county council decision. And like I said today, I think there are only two commentators in this entire city who support what the council did yesterday. That's myself, and then I saw this article today by LeVar Webb at UtahPolicy.com saying the county council did its duty in deciding on the mask mandate, and he's think he's spot on. Now, when we come back, there was another article I saw. Jay Evenson with the Deseret News wrote today about this whole debate and why this has made us meaner. Are we meaner to each other than we have been because of this? We'll talk about that coming up right here on the Rod Arquette Show in Utah's Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know we've been talking today with Mike Wilson from Any Hour Services. Got a great deal for you today that we'll talk about in just a minute. Have your phones been ringing off the hook all summer, or less people calling because of your terrific advice you offered in the spring, Mike?
Well, I wish everyone listened to that terrific advice, but it seems like I can give the advice. But here's the thing, like in the beginning of the summer, you always have like a big rush and the schedule will get booked out a little bit, but then you start to catch up. But if you think about how many tens of thousands of homes are in, you know, just this area, Anytime it's up in the 90s or in the closer you get to 100, statistically speaking, there's always going to be a percentage of those that are getting old, that are starting to wear out, and things start to break down. So we in the summer, there's usually, I don't know that I've ever seen in the summer a shortage of calls. There's always systems that are breaking down. And as far as the tune-ups, we do those 365 days a year.
Have air conditioners become more efficient over the years with modern technology?
Absolutely.
Have they?
Yeah, they've become more efficient. And the thing is that when you put in an air conditioner, day one is the most efficient that it's ever going to run. So if you put in a 14 SEER air conditioner, 10 years later, it's not running at 14 SEER. So even if you were to install another 14 SEER, that new 14 SEER is going to be more efficient than your old one. But they have efficiency ratings that are so high. I mean, a lot of times when you sit down and do the math, it starts to pay for, because your most expensive cost in conditioning your home with heating and cooling is the money you pay for the energy. It's not the upfront cost. So even though high efficiency equipment is usually more expensive upfront, the money that you save heating and cooling your home more than pays for the system.
All right, now I have a question for you, and I'm asking you before I've mentioned this to my wife.
Okay.
So you're the first to hear
this. Sir.
So you ready for this one?
I think so.
I've got a nice-looking bush, or an arborvitae, I think that's what they're called, right?
Okay.
On one side of my air conditioner.
Yes,
the rest of it's clear.
Okay.
Should I take the bush out?
Well, it depends.
be careful.
If it's growing into the air conditioner.
No, it's not growing into
it. If it's not growing into it, if you've got like, you know, 18 inches around it and the rest of the thing is clear, you're fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Did your wife say to like remove it?
No. I'm thinking
you want
to
remove it.
Well, I'm thinking I should, because you always say make sure the space around your air conditioner is clear.
I'll say this. I don't like to get into giving marital advice, but as far as the function of the air conditioning, it's probably not affecting that. But if the thing is ugly and you need to use me as an excuse.
No, it's not ugly.
Okay.
It's nice. It's nice. All right. Let's talk about this no breakdown guarantee that you've got tonight. What's that all about?
So, you know, we normally charge $99 to tune up your air conditioner. And tonight, anyone that calls in, they're going to save $70 and get it done for $29. The whole reason that we came up with this no breakdown guarantee is to remove all of the risk for someone. So imagine this, like, oh, I'm not sure if the maintenance is worth it to have it done. Okay, well, tonight we're going to save you $70. So it's only $30 to get it done. And if your system breaks down after we maintain it any time within a year, and if you think about that year time frame, so the rest of this summer and next summer, the thing's not going to break down. And if it does, we're going to come out, diagnose, figure out why for free, and we're going to give you the $29 back that you paid.
Wow, $70.
Save
70.
Yeah.
Could put a tank of gas in my car with $70. Maybe.
Gas over $4 a gallon, Rod. Like
it's
more and more expensive.
It is. All right. You need to check this out today. Call Any Hour Services right now. Save $70 on an air conditioner tune-up with their no breakdown guarantee that Mike just outlined. $99 value, only $29. But you got to call before 7 o'clock, folks. So don't wait. 801-443-7400.
To finish it, only on the free iHeart app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Thank Rod, it's Friday.
Thank Rod, it's Friday.
All right, welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show on this Thank Rod, it's Friday. Phone lines are now open to you at 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010, or on your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod. Now, quickly, before I get to the calls, real fast, couple of things on the school mask debate. There is more evidence that school closures are stunting student learning. In Texas, the percentage of students reading at their grade level slid to its lowest level since 2017, while math scores plummeted to their lowest point since 2013. How about in Colorado? This is a state that does very good at keeping its data, has just announced that student scores on the standardized test it administered in the spring fell in some grades to the lowest levels ever recorded. Pretty amazing. Right now, I want to just share with you real quickly, and then we'll get to your calls. This column, as I said, written by LeVar Webb at UtahPolicy.com today, entitled County Council Did Its Duty in Deciding on the Mask Mandate Policy. Now, here's what he writes, and I thought this was very, very important. LeVar writes, it is the role of elected policymakers to take a broad view, including constituents' desires, to oversee the experts throughout government. We don't allow health experts to make all the policy decisions about health, just as we don't allow generals to decide whether to go to war. We don't allow highway safety experts to establish all the driving rules based only on safety concerns. If we did, we'd all be driving 20 miles per hour and our vehicles would be built like tanks. Having elected leaders make the ultimate policy is why society allows alcohol, nicotine, gluttony, skydiving, even building homes in floodplains, despite clear evidence about their health concerns. So he's spot on. You know, that is why we have elected officials. We don't pay attention to all the health experts, even though for some reason there are some elected leaders who concede everything to health experts. You know, the thing I have with Angela Dunn, and she's probably a very nice person. We've had her on the show before. But has anyone ever really challenged her on some of the points that she's making? I don't think they have. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010, or on your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod, right to the phones we go. We begin in Mill Creek with Richard tonight. Richard, how are you? Welcome to the Rod Arquette Show.
Well, thanks, Rod. I can't believe I'm number one.
You're number one, man. You made it. Number one.
Hey, let me just be real quick. Obviously, we all saw sort of the LDS Church's little announcement this past week. And I will tell you, Rod, I have always appreciated sort of your position on, you know, kind of doing your own research and doing the right things for what you think's in your best interest, whether you feel like being vaccinated or not vaccinated. And I just, you know, when I read this thing and I see this, you know, it's the doctors are telling us this political leaders are telling this, and it's safe and effective. And I look at this thing, and I've read through about 12 different mass studies, and the bottom line is, from a mass standpoint, if you summarize it, surgical and cloth masks do nothing to prevent viral transmissions. We should all realize by now that face masks have never been shown to prevent or protect us from viral transmission. Excuse me. And then you get to the second, you know, the CDC's current guidelines. From our friend Rochelle Walensky, who about a week ago said that the CDC is now recommending indoor mask use in area with high transmission rates after new data suggested that fully vaccinated individuals are not just contracting COVID-19, but could potentially infect others. And I thought, my gosh, I thought that's why everybody was getting this shot, so that they, they weren't going to get sick. They wouldn't be able to affect others. And now they're turning around saying, hey, you better start wearing a mask again, because she even comes out a little later and says the viral load that you're carrying is as high as someone who's unvaccinated. And now, you know, you start to understand why these people feel, you know, see this confusion. And then you look at the VAERS numbers, the adverse reaction numbers that are reported to the CDC, and this is right off their website. And they're saying that approximately 12,000 people have died from the vaccine, and another 700,000 have been hospitalized. And I'm going, how is this? How is this safe and effective? Yeah. and I just, it's like, to me, that's I love what you say, Rod. It's an individual choice, and by inference, my church is telling me that I should run out and get this shot because it's safe and effective, and it flies in the face of everything that I've read. And I guess my final point would be, When the one thing the CDC has never been able to do, and they never talk about it, they've never been able to isolate the COVID virus. I mean, if you ask for a sample, they can't show anything to you. Yeah. And so I sit there and I'm going, because you talk about this a lot, well, then if you can't identify the COVID virus, excuse the expression, how the hell do you know there's a Delta variant?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even know what that is?
That's
anyway,
true.
I'll leave you alone.
All right, Richard, good comment. Appreciate that. Let me tell you, Richard just mentioned the mask thing, right? And a lot of people are saying, now you need to wear the KN95 mask or the N95 mask. That's what people are recommending. But now there's new research out there which is raising questions about those two masks. As a matter of fact, even the suppliers of the N95 mask warn against the use for aerosols and infectious diseases. This is what it said on their warning label. Do not use for aerosols or asbestos, biological particles. These masks cannot eliminate the risk of contracting infection with illness or disease if you're wearing a KN or 95 mask. More of your calls and comments coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and your calls, 888-5...
Something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank Rod, it's Friday!
Thank Rod, it's Friday!
All right, welcome back to the Rod Arquette Show on this Thank Rod is Friday. New to the program, and we're getting new listeners each and every day. What Thank Rod is Friday is all about is we open up the phones to you. We don't have a particular topic that we're talking about right now, even though the big story of the week has been the debate here in Utah over mask mandates in our schools. The Salt Lake County Council voting 6-3 yesterday to block Angela Dunn from issuing a mask mandate. Jenny Wilson, the county mayor, says, well, that group of parents, they don't represent everybody in the county. Well, if that's the case, then why did Republicans gain more control of the county council this year? They have a 6-3 vote advantage over this. So apparently they do, but the parents who showed up yesterday don't. Make sense of that. All right, lines are open to you. 888-570-8010. 888-570-8010. The other thing I wanted to bring up and get your reaction to, Jay Evenson at the Deseret News wrote an article today about rude behavior because of the pandemic. He talks about the fact that we're seeing more speeding out on the highways. Could that be the result of rude behavior? Certainly on airline flights. People, you know, debating others over wearing a mask. We've also seen it in other places as well, in restaurants, people being rude because they can't be served fast enough. So what about rude behavior? Are we meaner to each other today because of COVID-19? 888-570-8010 or on your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod. In Syracuse, we're talking with Devin tonight. Devin, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm doing great, Rod.
Good.
So, you know, there's lots of things going on. Everybody's talking about mask mandates and whether or not kids in school should have to wear them. You know, it seems I'm not a mandate person. I'm very much a mandates are unconstitutional type of individual. But anyways, people can argue that left and right because of the safety numbers and whether or not we're kind to people. But a really simple solution seems to be is that teachers and administrators and school people are really super concerned about students giving them corona or COVID, Delta variant or otherwise. Why doesn't the school districts or the Department of Education in Utah or across the nation in general vaccinate all the teachers and give all of them masks? Because if they're protected, does it matter if the kids get corona?
You know, I think, Devin, you make a good point. And I think in some cases, there have been some unions out there who said, we aren't going to force our teachers to wear masks, and we aren't going to force them to get vaccinated. I don't get that. I don't follow that either, Darren. Devin, that kind of throws me.
Yeah, I mean, it seems if we're going to, like, here, let's mandate kids because, you know, they're influenced easily, or because we can strong-arm parents into doing one thing or another because it's better for them because we know better. But obviously, the parents in Salt Lake decided, no, that's not the case. If you're that worried about it, go get vaccinated. If they're that worried about it and they don't want to get vaccinated, then get a new job. I'm sorry. I appreciate a teacher. My mom's a teacher. But don't tell me how to raise my kid. If you're concerned, do what you need to do to protect yourself.
And that's the crux of the debate. Devin, thank you for your phone call. Don't tell us as parents what to do with our children. You have no right to do that. Tim is in Murray tonight. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the Rod Arquette Show.
Oh, hi. I stumbled onto this just because I was curious about treatments for COVID. If you do a search, aspirin treatment for COVID, you will find some very interesting links. One, you will find a study that is published by a federal government agency that is part of the National Institute of Health that the Chinese did a year ago for 6 months that shows that in addition to what we normally think of aspirin as a blood thinner and anti-inflammatory, it also has some antiviral properties and actually does diminish the severity of COVID. You will also find similar information on WebMD, and I want to know why it is that this isn't even mentioned as a possibility. I didn't say it was a cure. I said that it reduces the severity.
And where are you getting that information, Tim, if you don't mind? Where are you seeing that? WebMD?
You can. All you have to do, now I use DuckDuckGo, but I tried it on Google too. If you search aspirin treatment for COVID, you will find that information. That is, you will find it, number one, it's published by a federal government agency, and you will find a link to WebMD that kind of says the same thing. Now,
all right, Tim, thank you. Appreciate that information. Let's go to, we've got Regis in Tooele tonight here on the Rod Arquette Show, and thank Rod, it's Friday. Hi, Regis.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. You mentioned earlier you wondered if people were being ruder because of COVID.
Yeah, are we being meaner to each other?
Well, some are. There was a spike a month or two back, and then it's kind of calmed down again out here. And I think in some ways, a lot of people are starting to be nicer to each other because we're all burned out with masks. I work where I've had to wear them for 12 hours a day since this has started. And the people I work with, a lot of them are switching jobs and moving to other places in the career, and because they're burned out. But my thought on this is there's a lot of us that, you know, we're taking a little extra time. Somebody's at a restaurant serving us. We're actually like tipping like New Yorkers now. We just, my wife and I, we've always tipped a little bit, but now we're tipping better because we know how much they're sacrificing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have done the same thing. I just feel, Regis, thank you for your phone call. I feel that, you know, these people, in many cases, restaurants are short of staff. There's no doubt about that. It does take a little bit longer to get your meal, but I don't get mad at them. You know, I understand what they're doing. They're working their tails off. I am tipping more, a little bit more all the time. I'm just a generous guy, right? Mike's over there laughing at me. All right, more of your calls coming up on Thank Rod. It's Friday, 888-570-8010, 888-570-8010, or on your cell phone, dial #250 and say, hey, Rod, I mentioned Mike. I'm talking Mike Wilson from Any Hour Services, taking center stage today on the Rod Arquette Show. Mike, we've been talking a lot about air conditioning.
Yes, sir.
Number one thing that you always say is to check the filter, make sure you have a good, clean filter in there. Are there other things that you would recommend?
Sure. I mean, there's coils, like you've got coils at the outside. You know, you were talking a while ago about your big, Herbivita or whatever it's called.
Herbivita, I think that's it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's next to the outside air conditioner unit. Like a couple times a summer, it's beneficial to hose that thing down. If you actually go and you look at the coils super close on that unit, you can start to see spider webs, dust building up. You'll see grass clippings because what that is, it's just a big, huge filter. And every time it kicks on, it's pulling air in to cool off
the refrigerant.
So
just take a hose to it.
Take a hose to it and try and get it as clean as you can. That's going to help it out a lot there. And then there are some coils inside that the refrigerant is flowing through, but those are a little harder for the average homeowner to check and clean themselves. And that's why it's so important to try and stay up on top of the annual maintenance, because any tune-up that's worth its salt is going to actually inspect those coils inside and give you an update on and see if they're dirty or not.
All right, so if I take a hose to it,
yep,
you're guaranteeing it's not going to spark and start a fire and blow up on my house.
Well, you don't want to do it while it's running.
Well.
You can shut the power. If that fan is spinning outside,
don't do it.
Don't be doing it. But if it's not spinning, and I mean, you're not going to like, it's not like you're dunking the thing in water. You're just spraying
it down.
So no, I'm not. But
now
after
when it's
you
running.
Ask that question, Rod, I'm not guaranteeing that you're not going to get shocked. Like, I don't know. I can't speak to, you might be tipping better, but you might be getting sparked up when you as well.
All right, let's talk about the no breakdown guarantee. What does that all mean?
So here's the thing. When you do a thorough tune-up, you're going to, the refrigerant is going to cool better out at the coils outside. The refrigerant is going to, or the system's going to move more air. So your system is going to run better after a tune-up. So much so that if you're going through and doing the things that manufacturers say, we are going to guarantee you that the system's not going to break down for 12 months. And if it is going to, if it does break down for whatever reason, you give us a call. We're going to come back out there for free, figure out what's going on, and we're actually going to refund you the $29 that you paid for the tune-up. That's That's how thorough these tune-ups are. This is how much we stand behind them. We believe that if we come out there and do what the manufacturers say, we really do think that your system is going to run better because the manufacturers say, and we're going to stand behind that.
But they have to call before 7 o'clock tonight, right?
Well, if you want to get the thing for $29, yes. Normally, we charge $99 for this thing, and it's well worth it at that. But KNRS listeners, in addition to getting that no-breakdown guarantee, if you call tonight, schedule whenever you want. But if you call tonight, you're going to lock in that $70 savings and get it done for $29. But if you called next week and got it for $99 and you still get that no-breakdown guarantee, then we'll refund you the $99. So we're going to refund you the tune-up cost if the thing breaks down.
Yeah, but save $70 right now by calling you right now, right?
How much more could you tip if you save $70 on your tune-up?
A lot more. You won't let me live this one down. All right, give them a call right now. Any Hour Services, save $70 on an air conditioner, an air conditioner tune-up with their no-breakdown guarantee, $99 value for only $29. But you got to call before we wrap up tonight at 7. 801-443.
Found the perfect rings to symbolize our love.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Shane Company, open every day.
Thank Rod, it's Friday!
Telephone number to call on the Rod Arquette Show for Thank Rod, It's Friday is 888-570-8010. On your cell phone, dial pound 250 and say, hey, Rod. Let's get right back to the phones. I know a lot of you have been waiting very patiently. Let's begin in Lehigh with Debbie tonight on Thank Rod, It's Friday. Debbie, how are you and welcome to the show?
I'm good. How are you, Rod?
I'm great. What's on your mind tonight, Debbie?
Well, I agree 100% that we should not take away parents' rights and make kids get mandatory vaccines. But I also don't feel like we should be taking away anyone's rights and making anyone get a mandatory vaccine. We live in America, and America gives us the right to be able to live our life according to our belief system and to, you know, our values and morals. And mm-hmm. if people don't feel good about getting a vaccine, I don't think that if you're an educator or anybody else, I don't think you should have a mandatory vaccine.
No.
We've lost our minds. We need to go back to common sense. We've had sicknesses and illnesses, and we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Quit being so scared.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll survive this.
We're taking away people's rights.
Yeah. We'll survive this, Debbie. You're right. Absolutely right. I mean, people, I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out about this virus that people have, they've lost their minds on this. Instead of taking a very fair-minded, common-sense approach to this, understanding it's probably going to be around for quite some time now, what we need to do is learn how to live with it and how to best confront it instead of running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. Let's go to Trevor in Cottonwood Heights tonight. Trevor, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Rod, this is Trevor.
Yeah, go ahead, Trevor.
Everybody's confused about the government telling us what to do and mask on, mask off. This isn't about safety. This is about control. You're coming at this from the perspective of an American, from the perspective of a freedom-loving American. That's why you're confused. You got to start thinking like a communist. This is about control. they do not care about safety. Fauci and his wife are connected to Wuhan. They funded and helped them develop this virus.
You're right, Trevor. Thank you for your phone call. I never want to think like a communist. Please don't let me do that. Let's get in one more call before we need to break. Let's go to Clearfield and talk with Scott tonight here on Thank Rod, It's Friday. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Rod. Hey, I drive a truck for one of the local supermarkets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as far as the rude of people, I noticed after the lockdowns happened and everybody started driving again, that's when everybody was even the worst rude, worst traffic I've ever seen. I know it was like progressing before the pandemic, but it, like, everybody came out of quarantine with just this bad attitude.
Was it kind of like a gentleman, start your engines and have at it? And apparently they have, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And they cut us off. They pull out in front of us. And I mean, it's not worth it to me, but I just see the rudeness increasing daily.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Drive safe out there. Thanks for driving. By the way, I see it, too, out on the highway. I mean, I see people going cutting in and out of traffic well above, and I'm usually around between 70 and 80 miles per hour out there, but I see people going by me. I swear they've got to be doing 100. I mean, they are. Now, I don't try and catch up to them. I ain't going to play that game. But it looks like sometimes you've got people out there racing on the highway. And the Highway Patrol, we had them on earlier this week talking about a deadly weekend that we had. And a lot of it has to do with speed or distracted driving. And I don't know if the pandemic is driving people to do that. I would hope not. But, man, out on the highways, be courteous to each other. You know, everybody is trying to get there. You'll get there maybe a minute or two late. Not that big of a deal. All right. There is a very controversial nominee from the Biden administration.
Call us today with all your vaccine-related conspiratorial needs at 304-804-MYTH.
Hour number three of the Rod Arquette Show here on Utah's Talk Radio 105.9. KNRS listening, you'll know we are live and local each and every Monday through Friday afternoon for you as you head home and getting ready now to head into the weekend. By the way, we're going to take a week off next week. Citizen Hughes, Greg Hughes, will be filling in for me all next week. No telling what he'll come up with, but Greg will be here all next week filling in for me as we take a little bit of a break. So hope you tune in and enjoy it. You know, there is a growing chorus of not only Republicans, but Democrats in Washington concerned about Joe Biden's administration to head up the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Bureau, ATF. His name is David Chipman, and the announcement for him to lead the ATF has really sparked a lot of controversy and a lot of debate because he is really a gun control advocate. Clark Apotian was able to stop by the show earlier today and had a chance to sit down and talk to Clark about this and asked him for an update as what's going on with the nomination of David Chipman to head up the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Oh yeah, he's running into some huge roadblocks. I think his days are numbered as a nominee to run the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And the reason is, well, I mean, it's tight. I mean, we know that the House, they have more Democratic members who are likely to vote for him than in the Senate, but it's the Senate confirmation on this one. And it's about 50-50 right now. Mm-hmm. We've got 48 Democratic senators, two independents, which generally caucus with the Democrats, and you know, and 50 mm-hmm. Republicans.
Yeah.
If all the Republicans, Mitt Romney, I'm talking to you, hold fast and don't vote for, you know, for the nomination, mm-hmm. then it's down to if one Democrat or independent jumps ship and comes over and says no on the nomination, we've got it. Because even with Kamala Harris coming in and deciding a tie vote, they wouldn't have enough votes. And so we're looking at three Democrats or people caucus with Democrats. We've got Tester out of Montana,
mm-hmm.
Joe Manchin out of West Virginia, and the Maine Senator King.
Angus King,
uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and from what I hear, they've said it's unlikely. They're not, it's unlikely they're going to vote to nominate. However, can you imagine those three senators? And probably Mitt Romney, because they know he's kind of, I just got to say it, it's a weak spot in there, that they are being lobbied so hard right now and probably promised everything for their states, Montana, West Virginia, and Maine, and in Utah, mm-hmm. to just, oh, come on, play along, you know, be one of the people, and let's vote for this guy. That's basically what it is. It comes down to it.
Well, and then we come to find out, and I'm surprised more haven't spoken out. He does an interview with this Chinese propaganda arm.
Isn't
for crying
that just
out.
Insane?
What is that about, Clark?
I mean, we're talking about China, the biggest threat. Yes, bigger than Russia right now to the world economy, to terrorism, to cyber, to cyber warfare, to germ, everything. And he's sitting down with them, you know. And I mean, I could see maybe a diplomat, I could see something like that, but not somebody that was a former ATF agent
mm-hmm.
and who is now looking to head that. You know, I don't care politics on leading a governmental agency whatsoever. A government agency should be managed appropriately
mm-hmm.
under the constraints that it has as an administrative agency, an executive agency. It just has to follow the law. And in this case, not make new law and not bring in your preconceived ideas. I mean, for goodness sakes, reports that he's had made racist comments while he was a supervisor. He's lost his gun and tried to hide it and tried to hide that fact. He used to work for Bloomberg supported anti-gun group. I mean, it's like putting a vegan in charge of the menu at Rodizio Grill. I mean, goodness sakes.
Not a wise idea. How much pressure, though, do you think Tester, King, Manchin, and others are under to approve this guy?
Oh, huge. Yeah, I can guarantee you they are in interviews and they are trying to be dissuaded because they know. Well, they don't have to pressure the other Democrats because they know they're going to go in lockstep, do what the party tells them to do. But these three, good on them, but I hope that they are also being pressured by their constituents back home in Montana, West Virginia, and Maine and saying, hey, this is a bad choice. But I got to say this, Rod. If Biden and his administration or whoever's pulling the strings for Biden is with a straight face proposing that David Chipman be the head of the ATF, and let's say he loses, what's choice number two going to look like? What's choice number three going to look like? I can't see that it's going to be any better.
Well, and you have said, who is it? Is it the Sheriff's Association?
Oh, yeah, the or National Police Sheriff's Chiefs Association.
Have come out really strongly against this guy, right?
And this is, we're talking about the elected sheriffs of 3,080 counties have come out. They interviewed the guy. They didn't just, they did their due diligence. They interviewed Chipman, and they wrote a letter to Biden saying, you know what, with all this in mind and his answers to our questions and this kind of stuff, we must absolutely oppose his nomination.
Who is this guy? Where did he come from?
Yeah,
be careful.
Now, I will tell you this, a little bit of background. His wife works for the ATF.
Okay.
His mother was an Arizona congressperson, a house, trying to ban bump stocks way before.
Okay.
No,
you know all about that.
Excuse me, his
mother-in-law. You know all about bump stocks.
Yeah, oh, I know about the bump stocks, yeah.
Yeah.
Which may be going to the Supreme Court here, my case.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Anyway, and I think he is I think he's an ideologue. Basically, that's not what we want. We want somebody, I don't care if you're for guns or against guns or whatever, just look at the data. Let's not get so mired down in emotion that your hand-wringing and bedwetting, rule the day for all your decisions.
Yeah. When Barack Obama was in the White House many, many moons ago, he was called the best gun salesman in the country. Joe Biden has kind of taken over that because Americans continue to buy guns at record rates.
Second biggest July on record for background checks.
Wow.
Something like 2.something million in 1 month. In 1 month. And, yeah, people are seeing the epiphany. They realize, hey, you know what? I've got to do for myself. I've got to do for my family because I know the cops aren't going to be here with all the defunding of the police, plus letting the criminals out of prison. And even that, you can't get, even though they have spots open, you can't get cops to come onto the force.
Yeah.
Because recruiting. They're not being respected.
Yeah. Okay, your prediction on Chipman, will he make it or not?
No, he's not going to make it. That's my prediction. Unless there's some really weird backdoor stuff to these three senators, I don't think he's going to make it. It'll be close.
Clark Abosian, he is with the Utah Shooting Sports Council, and he hosts Gun Radio Utah every Saturday afternoon right here on Talk Radio 105.9. KNRS, listen and you'll know, talking about the controversial nomination of David Chipman to head up ATF. More coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio 105.9. KNRS, listen and you'll know. Mike Wilson been with us throughout the afternoon, taking center stage on the Rod Arquette Show, of course, with any hour services. You talk a lot about a air conditioner tune-up, Mike.
Yes.
What's involved in that? I mean, what are some of the things that when your technician comes out, they take a look at?
Well, tune-up is just the term that we use to describe the manufacturer's recommended maintenance and inspection items. So we go through and we check refrigerant levels. There's electrical components that we need to take a reading on to see if they're functioning within range. Because a good technician that knows what they're doing and what they're looking at, they can actually identify problems. Like, you can take a capacitor, and a lot of times you can tell before it actually dies that it's going to die. Mm-hmm. And so you can avoid an unexpected breakdown with a intentional repair at the time.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, the fact that it's running all the time, is it better a tune-up for a tune-up on an air conditioning during the summertime or during the spring when it's running instead of, you know, in the early spring or late fall?
Well, manufacturers don't specify when during the season you should have a tune-up done. All they really specify is that you need to do it at some point. So there's benefits to doing it at any point during the season. Like our company has a really large maintenance department that all they do are tune-ups. So we do tune-ups 365 days a year, half the year ACs, half the year furnaces. So we're constantly out there maintaining because there's just so many of them.
Yeah, and you mentioned the tune-ups and the manufacturer suggests you get a tune. Now, is a company paying you to do this annual service or is it all part of what you do at any hour service?
No one pays us to go out and, well, sorry,
the customer
the homeowners
does.
pay you to go out and do it, but there's not like big air conditioner that's out there pushing these tune-ups. And the thing is you don't necessarily have to pay a company to come out and do that. If you are lucky enough to know someone that's in the industry and they're willing to come out there and do that for you, have them do that. As long as they have the right meters and gauges and they know what they're doing, because there are some things that are above the level of the average homeowner that should be done.
Yeah. By the way, I may be calling you this weekend because I think I'm going to take a hose to my air conditioner.
Are you going to call us beforehand?
Right beforehand.
So that, like, if I don't call you back, something went wrong, Mike.
All right, talk to me about this no breakdown guarantee.
Sure.
Because it's a great idea, I think.
Absolutely. What we've tried to make it as easy as possible for people and remove as much risk for them to give us a call. So number one, tonight, if you happen to call tonight, instead of paying $99 for a tune-up, you're only going to have to pay $29 to get it done.
Great offer.
On top of that, we've got this no breakdown guarantee. So what that essentially means is no matter how much longer we end up using the air conditioner for this summer, it's not going to break down. And it's good for 12 months. So guess what? By having it done now, next summer it's covered as well. So anytime within that 12 months, if your system stops working and we had come out and tuned it up, we're going to dispatch a technician out to your home for free, diagnose, troubleshoot it, figure out what's going on, and we're going to refund you the $29 that you paid for the tune-up.
All right, but they have to call tonight to get the savings deal, right?
That is correct.
All right, give them a call right now. Call before 7 o'clock tonight. Save $70. Normally $99. If you call before 7, it's $29. 801-443-7.
New each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rod Arquette Show here on Utah's Talk Radio, 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know. Now, if you are regular listening to the program, you've realized over the past several weeks, now several months, that we have teamed up with the Strong Auto Group and the state of Utah as part of the Live On campaign. This is a statewide effort to get people to talk about the emotional challenges they have and to prevent suicide. And we've been airing a series of interviews that we've conducted with various organizations out there that really offer a helping hand to people who are struggling. Now, one of those organizations is called the Continue Mission. Its co-founder, Josh Hansen, we spoke with recently, talking about the Live On campaign. I asked him, first of all, what the Continue Mission is all about.
Continue Mission is a nonprofit that I started for veterans with service-connected mental, physical, and emotional injuries from their time in service. Myself, I was injured in Iraq and spent 3 months in the hospital, time recovering. And during that time, I lost five veterans to suicide here at home. And I started the program to get veterans back together again, outside doing events together and building that network for each other to support one another and to continue mission in life and healing, hence the name Continue Mission.
Josh, when we talk about suicide prevention in this state, of course, a lot of the attention gets focused on teenagers because that's a high number here in the state of Utah, and we should not look at that. But, you know, would people be surprised as the impact it has on veterans?
Oh, definitely. We've really been impacted hard with suicide amongst our veterans and just trying to get them out of the house and doing activities together. Because with my post-traumatic stress from the war, and my depression and anxiety. It's really hard a lot of the times to get out that front door and get out and do something, and which is so important because physical activity is so important for our mental health. And if we can get these veterans out cycling with us, this morning we went paddle boarding, anything active together really helps helps your mental health and builds on that to sit and support one another.
What was your experience like, Josh, if you don't mind? Was it difficult to get outside, to interact with others during this difficult period you were going through? What was that like?
Oh, it was so difficult. I mean, I was at the point where after my injuries in Iraq, I felt like I was such a burden on my family because my wife had to quit her job to take care of me, trying to get me healed. And I honestly felt, you know, if I died by suicide, everyone around me would be much happier and they could move on with life. And then one of my soldiers died by suicide, and that was a huge wake-up call to me to say that is not the answer. Going to the funeral and seeing how it upset the family members was so traumatic to me. I was like, that was my turning point to say, I've got to get professional help, get myself out and moving, and take care of myself and my fellow military personnel to make sure this stops happening and we can support one another.
How key, Josh, was that professional help to your recovery?
Having the professional help was immense for me. And that helped with my wife, who joined me as well, and it helped work through the situations I was going through, and it was solid. I really needed that professional help. And then on top of that, getting out and doing activities and starting to get my life back again. Those that don't suffer from depression don't realize how hard it is for us to get out that door to walk around the block and realize, hey, these problems aren't that bad. I look back to where I had thoughts of dying by suicide. You know, my daughter was 3. You know, and now, I mean, I have 2 grandchildren. I haven't. There's so much on life I would have missed if I wouldn't have gotten the professional help and stayed active and started the organization to get other veterans together to help support one another.
This is all, of course, part of the Live On campaign that iHeartMedia and Strong Automotive, the Strong Auto Group in the state of Utah are doing to reduce the number of suicides or eliminate them here in the state of Utah. Why is it so important, Josh, in your opinion, to get veterans together and to talk and to have activities? Is it an effort just to get their mind off things, if you can? What are you trying to do?
With our organization, what's been so powerful is the veterans are meeting each other in the organization. They're out doing fun activities together like pickleball, disc golf, cycling, paddleboarding, and they are able to continue to communicate to each other. And that peer support of one another and building the network of friends, now they find out, oh, hey, so-and-so only lives a block away from me. When they're having a horrible day, they can contact that individual or anyone in our organization, talk to them, go out for a walk, go for a bike ride. And that is what we all need. We need that human interaction, not just our phones and social media. We need to get together and do activities in person. And I think that's why our organization works so well. They have that network to go to when they need help.
The post-traumatic stress that a lot of veterans go through, did veterans who were served earlier go through the same thing, the wars, Vietnam, Korea, other wars that this country has been involved in, but we just didn't recognize what it was, Josh?
Definitely. My grandfather is a World War II veteran. You'd put raw meat on the table, and he'd have, you know, flashbacks to when he was a medic during World War II, and he would just walk out of the room sometimes. My father is a Vietnam veteran who, unfortunately, wasn't even able to get help from the system until almost the 90s due to the fact of, you know, how they were treated and came home, and a lot of them just backed away and just didn't even talk about things. So the issues were there. I don't think they were as greatly understood as they are nowadays. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, I'm constantly telling veterans to get in and get help. you know, a lot of the veterans need to get registered with the VA and start through that process. Even if they don't feel like they have post-traumatic stress, go in and have the testing done, and let's make sure we're getting taken care of.
Is there a resource you would recommend? I know the Live On campaign has a tremendous resource center available online. Is there one specific for the Continue mission that you would recommend? Or how do people, you know, who are struggling with this find help? Where should they go, Josh?
Well, our organization, we is at continuemission.org. But the professionals would be contacting the VA. Like you say, there is great other websites out there, like the Utah Suicide Coalition websites. You know, locating that stuff, find a network or an organization that is helping yourself or helping. You know, we're not the only veteran organization in Utah, and if our program doesn't have what they need, if they find other ones and start building that network and having that lifeline to help each other is incredible. So we need to take care of one another.
Josh Hansen, co-founder of the Continue Mission, joining us on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS, part of the Live On campaign. It's a suicide prevention campaign. We're involved. The state of
California has Ethos Life Insurance Services. Not available in all states, and prices subject to underwriting and certain health questions.
Rod Arquette Show on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS.
Final half hour of the Rod Arquette Show with you on this Thank Rod. It's Friday. Don't forget, we'll be off next week. Greg Hughes, Citizen Hughes, will be filling in for me all next week. So we invite you to tune in starting every Monday, every weekday afternoon, I should say, at 4 p.m. here on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. You know, I love the stories that we get to read from this marvelous reporter, and we've had her on the show quite often. We're talking about Selena Zito. Now, Selena, during the summer, takes what she calls her annual road trip, and she travels all around the country talking to various people to find out really what's going on in America today. Now, she recently wrote an article about a unique drugstore. That's right, a drugstore in South Dakota, and Selena is joining us on our Newsmaker line right now to talk about it. Selena, always great to have you on the show. What prompted you to write about this drugstore in South Dakota, well-known, called Wall Drug?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm driving across the country. It's something that I do every year. To just get a pulse of what's going on in the country, how we're doing, how people are. And Wall Drug is always one of my destination points. It's such an integral part of the storytelling of America, of tenacity, of that sort of frontier spirit that we think that is gone if you use social media as your way to communicate. But if you get out there and you listen to people and talk to people, you realize that still exists pretty much everywhere.
Selena, tell us a little bit about the history of Wall Drug and what made this store what it is today.
So the store, there was this couple that they were, the husband was a pharmacist, and he was looking for a place to build his pharmacy. He went to his 14 different towns, but he settled on the town of Wall because the only doctor there, it was a town of 300. This is 1921. It was a 1931. It was a town of 300 people, but the doctor promised him all the prescriptions, so he said, that's where I'm going to put my store. So they build the store, he and his wife, and they run it, and they noticed that U.S. 16 was the highway at that time. Now it's 90, Interstate 90. But he noticed, they noticed after a few years that all the potential customers were just sort of flying past their home or past their business, which was, you know, also where their home was located. And one evening it was really hot. The wife had a hard time sleeping, and she was thinking, you know, I can hear all those cars. I bet they're really thirsty. So she decided to make all of these signs that said free ice cold water. And she planted them along US 16, and they instantly attracted people. By the time she came home from planting them on the highway, they had a line of people outside of their house. Now, today, within a year, they had hired 8 people. Before, it had only been the 2 of them. And now, today, they attract millions of people to come to Waldrug. The store is 76,000 square feet of awesomeness. It is the best, you know, and it's, you know, people think it's like kitsch, and it's really not. I mean, there's some great American paintings there and sculptures, these Western books that are out of print, you can't find anywhere else, you know, plus like t-shirts and things like that. But whatever you need, you will find it at Waldrug.
Wow. Selena, this almost sounds like it's become a destination for people, a destination point for people. They want to go to Waldrug and see this store.
Oh, yeah. It's a real thing. And you'll pay attention to people's bumper stickers. There probably won't be a day that goes by that anyone in this country won't run into someone who has a Waldrug bumper sticker on the back of the car. During World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Iraq and Afghanistan war, soldiers would either lift the billboards from the highway and take them to the different theaters that they were fighting in, or create their own and just place these signs all over Europe or Korea or Afghanistan or Iraq, because they wanted that they wanted to be connected to that community, that part of America that they loved and they thought of as being entrepreneurialist, that exceptionalism that we, you know, that we all want to be part of something bigger than ourselves.
My guess is now, and you point this out in the article, Selena, that the roadside advertising they do now is a lot more than just advertising free ice-cold water. Is that right, Selena?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of those signs, but there's also signs for cherry pie and, ice cream. Their burgers are amazing. Their donuts are insanely delicious. And the signs, very nostalgic. They have that real 1940s feel, and there's something very romantic about following them. It gives people something to look forward to as they're driving through the plains and they're heading up to the Black Hills.
What about the people who now run the store? What are their thoughts about why they're successful, Selena, and what they think about America today?
They're the same family. And they don't feel any different about the country than their parents and their grandparents felt about it. Very hopeful, very aspirational. This past Saturday, they had their busiest Saturday ever, followed by the busiest Sunday ever, followed by today that will also hit a record in sales. So they know they have created a community, and they believe that it is something worth preserving and not changing, and they've done a very good job of understanding America.
What does Waldrug say about America today, in your opinion?
It says that turn off social media and cable news and get out there and listen and talk to your fellow Americans, because the world is so much different than it is than what you see on social media or what you see on cable news. There's a very hopeful country out here, and I think it's incredibly important that we don't let those platforms skew our perception of who we really are.
On our Newsmaker line, Selena Zito. She is a columnist at the Washington Examiner and New York Post, and every summer, as she said, she gets out on the road, just drives around the country and talks to interesting people. As she says, it just gives her a real feel as to what's going on in America today. All right, more coming up on the Rod Arquette Show and Utah's Talk Radio 105.9. KNRS listening, you'll know, our last chance to talk with one Mike Wilson from Any Hour Services. We've talked about so many things today, but primarily air conditioning.
Yes.
How do you know that your air conditioning... Help you
get away. Motorsportsland, 4001 South State.
Oh, All right, welcome back. Final few minutes of the Radar Catch Up with you on this Thank Rod is Friday. Don't forget, Jesse Kelly coming your way tonight. Jesse will be with you from 7 until 10 o'clock tonight. And then we've got Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. Clyde runs it from 10 to 11. And then we turn it over to the weekend edition of Coast to Coast with George Norrie. So we invite you to join us. By the way, as I mentioned, we'll be taking a break next week, enjoying some of what Utah has to offer, and then we'll be back on the 23rd. Citizen Greg Hughes, one-time candidate for governor, Speaker of the Utah House, will be here all next week, and he always has a lot to say in a very entertaining fashion, so you'll want to join in and enjoy Greg Hughes. He'll be filling in for me next week as we take a break. One thing I wanted to know, I saw a very interesting story today, and quickly I want to share with you before we wrap things up tonight. Ross Clark, he is a columnist with a British newspaper. He's done some interesting math on whether battery cars actually save energy. We're talking about the EV units that the president is pushing so hard. He notes that the Union of Concerned Scientists some 6 years ago estimated the making of a mid-range electric car with sufficient battery power to carry it 265 miles on a good day. He said it will require 68% more emissions than the manufacture of petrol vehicles. As a result, taking the mix of electricity generation in the U.S., you would have to drive 19,000 miles before you could say you have saved a single puff of carbon emissions. I just love that, don't you? In addition, the pollution and emissions produced by mining rare earths that are necessary to produce the electric cars, not taken into account when estimating their environmental impact. And what are we going to do with all those batteries when they expire? This is something you never hear people talk about when they talk about electric vehicles. Could they be a part of the mix? Certainly. But America will never be all EV, if you want my opinion. All right, like I said, we'll be taking a break next week. Greg Hughes, Citizen Hughes, going to be filling in for us weekday afternoons from 4 to 7. So I invite you to tune in and enjoy what Greg has to say. That does it for us tonight. Head up, shoulders back. May God bless you and your family.